Title of my message this morning is No Bad Bulbs. No Bad Bulbs. Just recently, my wife and I bought a few of those strings of lights. I think they're called festoons is the name of them. And we bought them to go over like our patio in the backyard. And so I went down to Costco and I got them. And as I pulled them out of the package, I got them all strung up. Of course, I didn't check them before I strung them up, but I got them all strung up. I plugged them in and there were several of these bulbs that were out. And it was so frustrating because I had done zip tied these things in place. I'd got them all situated. My wife, no, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, a little bit up, a little bit down, right? And so I'm like, okay, oh my goodness. And so I did all of the jumping through hoops only to have to tear them things down because there were a few bulbs that, well, they weren't doing what they're supposed to do. And so of course, thankfully Costco has an amazing return policy. And so I brought them back. But this idea of these strings of lights, that's a very familiar concept, especially for those of you that love Christmas when you're decorating your house and you've got these strings of lights that you store away in your garage or in your attic and you pull them out every year. And of course, you plug them in and there's the test, you know, do all of the lights work? Is this gonna be a fiasco? It's not, thankfully, you know, the LEDs of today are a lot different than the old bulbs of yesterday when, you know, we had to pull out the individual bulbs and, you know, twist them in there and try to get them to work and adjust the little metal prong looking things. And so thankfully things have adjusted for Christmas, but lights in general, you know, they look good all by themselves, but when you got a lot of lights together and you can string them together, it's pretty amazing what designs you can come up with and how beautiful the houses look when they're decorated for Christmas at night, or these places you go into with the lights are strung up above and it looks romantic, it looks fancy. When you've got a lot of lights strung together, it makes a much greater impact than just a single light all by itself. When I think about strings of lights, you know, the Bible tells us that we individually are lights in a dark world. That is one of the titles Jesus gives us. It says, you know, you are the light of the world. You know, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is an idea that Jesus uses to describe the church, that we are lights. But I want to tell you something this morning, that when we've got individual lights that begin to be strung together, where me and you as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a part of the family of God, when we come together and link shields, grab each other's arms, live in community, have a family of the church together, what it does is it creates a beautiful string of lights, an outline, really, of an amazing picture of what God's family looks like. And when we're all strung together, we've got the same power source. We're still, you know, shining in a dark world together. You know, we shine individually, but together, the brilliance that comes off of it, it makes a big difference. And that's exactly what the local church is meant to be. And that's really the meaning of our text today, by the way, is that Paul is telling me and you that together we should be shining, not only giving glory to God, but shining in the world around us. And if done right, the picture that people get, the image people see is that of Jesus. And like a moth to a light, they get attracted to him. Here in Philippians chapter 2, as we just heard from Ricky, he's telling us that we are lights in the world. Now, let me do a quick recap and remind you of who's writing this letter. Who is he writing it to and where is he writing it from? His name's Paul. Paul is writing this letter to the people in Philippi. That's why it's called Philippians. Paul is writing from a Roman prison cell. So he's down in the bottom of a prison cell. It's dark, it's damp, it's wet, it's not desirable, it stinks, there's no toilet. It's not a place that anybody would want to be. But Paul's writing this letter from this location. And in thinking about the Philippians, he's telling them, man, you guys are in a dark world, but you're shining bright. And together, together, what a picture you guys can be. Today, what I want to focus on is this idea of all of our lights shining. And if there's any bad bulbs among us, that we go and repair those bulbs. So if any of you among this little strand of this phone call on Tuesday mornings, if any of your bulbs are out this morning, I hope to repair those bulbs. I hope that we can adjust you and get you shining bright once again. There are three reasons why your bulb might not be shining this morning that we're going to see from our scripture. Three reasons why maybe you are not doing as you should. And we, again, want to fix that today. Here are the three reasons. Maybe number one, your bulb isn't shining because you're not plugged in. Number two, because your light is hidden. Maybe it's hidden behind something. And number three, maybe it's just burnt out. So those are the three reasons this morning. Number one, it's not plugged in. Verse 16, it says, if you look at your Bible, he says, holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But now if you look again, he says that we are shining lights in the world. So we're shining lights, but maybe we're not plugged in. You know, last week I talked about the value of knowing the Word of God, relying on the Word of God, being plugged into the Word of God. Paul was making sure that his people were plugged into something, and it wasn't just emotion, it wasn't just hearsay, it wasn't just their Instagram reels and the next hot preacher, the next, you know, celebrity pastor, but it was something deeper. It was him telling the people, hey, make sure you guys are in your Bible on a daily basis. This is how you get plugged in to hear from God. This is how you get juice to light up your light. And I've been asking you for the past few weeks, prodding you to make sure, family, that you're reading your Bible on a daily basis, that you're spending time in the Word of Life. This word holding fast literally means like white knuckling the Bible. You know, years ago, I went on a roller coaster out in California. I'm not a fan of roller coasters, by the way. And so I went to Magic Mountain, and of course, there was this crazy roller coaster there, and they had to coax me into getting on. And I just remember grabbing a hold of that bar, and man, by the time I got through the ride, my hands hurt and my knuckles were white because I was hanging onto this thing for dear life. I mean, it was very clear from the photo, you know, that they take when you're done with the ride, that I was not having a good time. I was white knuckling it. I was hanging on for dear life. And Paul is saying, for the Christian, we're hanging on white knuckling the word of life, where the Bible becomes not just an accessory, but it becomes more of a life-giving, as it says here, component for us. It's not just an addendum, but this is a part of the contract. This is something that we grab onto and we don't let go of. And so we're holding firmly to the Bible. And I just want to make sure that you this morning, that you're hanging on to it. And not only that you've got it with you, but you've got it in you. There's a lot of people I know that they've got Bibles on their counters and Bibles on their shelves and a family Bible, gigantic one sitting on the coffee table. It's all dusty because nobody ever reads it. And so I just want to make sure you not only have your Bible with you, but you get your Bible in you. When your Bible's in you, it makes a lot of difference what comes out of you. All right, so the first thing is make sure you're plugged in today. He says, hanging on to the Word of Life. The second thing he says, I want to make sure that you guys, you're not hiding your light, point two. He says here in verse 15, he says, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. The New Living Translation says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God. You know, you've got these lights that are out there, but some of them have gotten twisted up. And their light is hiding behind something else. The idea that Paul is giving is that we as believers should not have lives that are twisted up or wrapped around the world. This word blameless means above reproach. It's not giving the world anything to point out, find fault with in you. And so people that are close to you, people that work with you, they can look at you and say, you know, I really can't think of anything that I can point a finger at about them. They're blameless. They're above reproach. The word harmless here, it means pure. Really gives this idea of being without mixture. Same kind of Latin word, sinicera. It means, you know, sincere, harmless, pure, without mixture, without clay. It's a, or even without wax. You know, in biblical times, they would make all the pottery. And as the pottery was made, sometimes you would accidentally drop a pot. It would crack a little bit. And so instead of starting again and throwing away the pot, what some of these little crafty fellows would do is they'd pull out a little wax and they would mix the clay dust with the wax and they would press the wax into the cracks in the pot. And then they would paint it over and then they would set it out as a brand new pot. But you could easily tell if a pot had wax in it, if it was sinicera without wax, by holding it up to the light. And in holding it up to the light, the sunlight, you could see the light come through the wax. Well, here the idea is that a Christian is someone who's living without wax, where we might have cracks, but we're genuine about it. But we're not trying to cover those cracks. We're not trying to hide behind something that isn't genuine. We are pure. Again, this word is used in mixing gold and copper, and we've heard the analogies before about heating gold up real hot to bring out the impurities, you know, to purge out the things that make it not as pure as it should be, you know, 24 karat gold. And the idea now for the Christian is this: your light can be hidden if you allow too much of the world to get inside you. Your light can be behind something so it's not shining as bright as it should be. You know, years ago I was standing at Huntington Beach on Main Street and I was out there sharing my faith. I was talking to just a few guys, and a guy walked behind me and he started asking me some questions, and I could easily tell that this was either going to be a really good conversation or a really bad one. But quickly it turned out to be a really good one, and it turned out he was a Christian, and so he wanted to encourage me as I was out there sharing my faith, talking to people about Jesus. And he said, Jason, let me remind you of something. He said, look out in the water. And so we looked out into the ocean as we're standing there right along the PCH, looking out across just the Pacific Ocean. And out there, beautiful blue waters, and it was a gorgeous day. And he said, what do you see out there? I'm like, water. And he's like, okay, what else do you see? I'm like, oh, there's a few boats out there. He said, okay, let me ask you something about those boats. You know, what are they doing? I'm like, oh, they're floating. You know, they're floating on the water. And he said, what would happen if the water got in the boat? I'm like, man, them things would sink. And he said, exactly. Listen to me, Jason. Christians are in the world, but the world should not be in the Christian. The moment the world gets in the Christian is going down. And today your light might be dim. It might be, well, not shining as bright as it should because the world has gotten inside you. In verse 15, he says that you may be blameless, innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. We are living in dark days, difficult times. There's nasty things all around us, and it's important that we don't get mixed up with it, that we don't get our feet muddied with all of the filth around us. And Paul is saying, if you want to shine bright, then you need to remain away from the world, not tangled inside the world. And so I want to encourage you, look at your life, the things that you listen to, the things that you watch, what you do quietly and privately, the company that you keep, what you allow your children to do, the pastimes, the things that you enjoy as liberties that you don't think anybody cares about. All of those things are either godly or worldly. It's either pulling you closer to God or pushing you away from God. This idea of crooked, it says in verse 15, he says, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. It's kind of an interesting Greek word. It's scolios, and it's where we get our English word scoliosis, you know, a bent back. And Paul is saying we live in a very crooked, twisted, not straight world. And so we have got to be the straight line in a crooked world. How else is the world supposed to know the proper way to act unless the church is the model, the ruler, the standard for them to go off? I mean, think about it. If the church was mixed up in the world and we look just like the world, then we can't ever complain about the world being worldly if we're just like them. The idea of the church is that we are a light in the dark. We're guiding the way. We are a ruler amidst something so crooked that they can look at us as the standard. We are the metric that the world should use to determine what is right and pure and moral and righteous. We are the standard for the world. And so as we look to God, we reflect God to the world, and the world can say, oh, now I see. Now I see what is right. I'm not calling the perverse things good and the good things perverse, but we're walking the line. We're on the highway of holiness. We're not distorting or twisting, but we are keeping it upright. You know, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, what's happening in the world around us is that Psalm 7:14 says, the wicked conceive evil, they are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. The world around us, they're constantly dreaming up new wicked ways. It's getting darker and darker and darker, which means it's important that we start shining brighter and brighter and brighter. I'm going to tell you that every step you make toward the right thing will expose the wrong thing in people around you. And sometimes they don't like that. Sometimes they get convicted because of it, and sometimes they get a little guilty because of it. But don't give up and don't give in. Don't get discouraged if all of a sudden you start living for God and you're like, you know what, yeah, I'm not going to really listen to that music anymore. You know, as in this company, we're not going to really play this with foul music, or we're not going to show this on our screens. In my home, we're not going to watch these rated R movies. We're going to put filters on our internet. We're going to, all of a sudden, as you start making these stands for righteousness, you better bet that the world, the crooked world, the world that loves the dark, you better bet they're going to come against you. So don't grow discouraged. This is a part of the plan. This is what it means, okay, to follow Christ out of the dark into his glorious light. And so the believer is not like the world. We're not twisted up, hiding behind the world, but our light is bright. It's shining. Okay, so the first thing, again, was that maybe you're not plugged in. We need to get you back in your Bible. Secondly, maybe y'all twisted up. Maybe it's hiding. Your light is hiding behind some worldliness. So let's get that out of your life. And the third thing is, well, maybe you're burnt out. Maybe it's a bad connection. Verse 14, this is what Paul says. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So verse 14, he tells us how we should be doing things and the impact that has. And so in doing this, it will keep us from actually getting twisted up or becoming unplugged. And what is he getting to? Uh-oh, it's about grumbling and complaining and disputing and murmuring. Oh man, all too often things that I hear in the church. You know, kind of funny, I read this story about this monastery that was very, very strict. And for any monk that wanted to come into this monastery, they had to take a vow of silence. So they were not allowed to speak at all for the entire time that they were in this monastery. But they did have one exception. Every 10 years, you were allowed to speak two words. And so a monk went in, he took the vow of silence, and he joined the monastery, and he was there for 10 years. As his 10 years hit the anniversary, he was brought in before the head monk, and the head monk said, all right, you've been here 10 years. What are the two words that you want to say? And so the monk, using his first two words, he said, bed hard. So the head monk said, okay, see you in 10 years. 10 years later, the monk returns to the head monk's office, and it's been 10 more years. So the head monk, what are the two words that you would like to speak? And he said, food stinks. Head monk said, okay, I see. Another 10 years go by, and the monk once again meets with the head monk, who says, okay, it's been 10 more years. What are your two words for now? And the monk said, I quit. And then the head monk said, well, I can see why. Ever since you got here, all you've ever done is complain. Complaining and murmuring, disputing and arguing. Paul's making sure that the Christian life is one that isn't full of complaining and arguing and just making your grumbling voice heard, but rather we're holding back our complaints and not sharing them with people, but taking them to the Lord. Like, do you have things that you murmur and complain about? We all do, but do you do it? You know, there's a direct tie and link to your witness as a Christian and your outlook and perspective on life. One of the reasons why we complain is because we don't have the proper outlook. You know, we don't have a proper sense of thanksgiving in our heart. Thanksgiving is a way that we root out all forms of complaining and murmuring. Because we're the children of God, we're no longer the children of the devil. This is kind of what he's getting at. He's saying, you know, we shine as the children of God. We're shining bright. He's saying, listen, you're in the family now. So there's nothing to complain about. All the things that you used to be entrapped with and slave of sin and a tool of the enemy, and you were losing your life and eternity, those were things to complain about. Okay, but now you're no longer in the dark. You've got heaven to look forward to. You've got God with you to never leave you or forsake you. God is dwelling in your heart. The Holy Spirit of God is guiding you and directing you on a daily basis. He's filling you with hope and light and love and peace and joy. He's giving you all of these amazing things. All the blessings that are around us, sure, there's some dark days that come, but let me tell you, where you're at now as a child of God is infinitely better than where you were. And so Paul is saying, you better do all things without complaining, because in reality, in light of eternity, you don't have anything to complain about. And plus, when you do complain, it ruins your witness. It causes your light to not shine as bright as it should. Because not only does God hear your complaining, but so does the world. Philippians 2 again says that they would be known as the children of God by avoiding these things. If we are not on guard, our grumbling can become a way of life about how we feel, how people treat us. The government is bad and it's only getting worse, and don't you see what's on the news, and the church is full of hypocrites, and didn't you hear about another pastor that fell, and the weather about this, and there's plenty of things that we think we should gripe about and complain about, but in reality, it's hurting, not helping the main goal and agenda. I heard about a couple that went to Jamaica. I recently just got back, and out in Jamaica, you know, they landed in the airport and there was a torrential like downpour of rain. And so they were bummed because they're out there on vacation. And immediately the man got a really bad attitude, like, oh, great, go figure. We come out to Jamaica and it's starting to rain and this whole thing is going to be ruined. And they felt like their relaxation was getting sabotaged because of the bad weather. And so they called a cab, and the cab got in, and the man jumped inside the cab and he started complaining to the driver. And so he said, what's with all this rain? Like, is it supposed to rain all week long? And then this tall, dark Jamaican man who's driving turned around with a big smile on his face. He looks back on the couple and he says with a heavy accent, in Jamaica, man, we don't have rain. We only have liquid sunshine. It all matters what your perspective is on life, on how you view it. As Christians, we believe that God is sovereign over all things, including the circumstances that we find unpleasant, undesirable, and unexpected. So when we complain and grumble, what we're doing is we are in effect telling God that we believe, God, you're not doing a very good job. Your grumbling is accusation to God that he's not doing as he should, that you think he could do better, and that the way he rules and ruins the rules and reigns in the universe is not sufficient according to your standards. As Christians, we sit back and say, you know what? I'm not God. God is God. And instead of complaining and grumbling and arguing and whining, I'm going to sit back and I'm going to give thanks and say, God, I trust you. Lord, I don't want to lose my witness. I don't want my bulb to go out or not be as bright because I'm grumbling and complaining and I've got a bad outlook on life and the glass is half empty and all these people are problems around me and all these problems are stacking up against me. Instead, I'm going to say, God, I trust you. God, I know that you're in control. God, I believe that you've got the best in store. I know you've got good plans for me. I know you see my situation. I trust you, God. I'm going to walk with you, God. Please, Lord. And we could pray. We could pray to God. Instead of complain, we can pray. Not only that, we can stay connected. Get in the Word. The Word will be a resource to you to remind you that your situation might seem bad, but God's in the midst of it. And God is doing something with it. And so Paul's exhortation today, as we end, is that Paul wanted to string up these lights for the world to see. He wanted to create a beautiful, not just tapestry, a tapestry of lights, really, a show in the dark, for the world to see how good and amazing God is. And the way that he's doing that, the way that God is doing that, is by the lives of Christians coming together, linking shields, shining bright for the world to see. And so if your bulb is out today, make sure you're plugged in. Make sure that you're not twisted up in the world. Okay, so get out of that worldly situation and then stop complaining. Be thankful. Be grateful for what God is doing in your life. And surely enough, as you do those things, your light will come back on, and the world will see, and God will be glorified. Verse 16, he says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The desire of every pastor, the desire of every spiritual father, is that the people that we mentor, the people that we disciple, that they would stay the course, that they would stay plugged in, that they would continue to do what's been taught and told to them. And so I encourage you, family, run hard, run well, and don't get discouraged along the way. Don't get distracted and don't get tied up. The Lord is using you. The Lord is with you. He's a good God. He's been good today, family. And the very fact that we've got eternal life to look forward to means it's infinitely better right here than it ever was back there. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. And I ask that, Lord, you would just continue just to help us shine bright, that we would not be burnt out, that we would not be unplugged, that we'd not be twisted up, but that, Lord, we would shine together for you, that the world might see and that you would be glorified. And so we love you, Lord, and I thank you for my friends, and I pray again that you would just encourage us today. In Jesus' name.